Okay, while we're getting set up, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next co-presenters. It's going to take us a few minutes to kind of switch gears here. First, I want to introduce Joe Oberitis. Joe is a musician born and raised here in Cleveland and has had a polka band here for a number of years. In 1983, Joe went to work for Walt Disney Entertainment, where he plays polkas in the German Pavilion there at Epcot Center in the World Showcase. He also plays polkas at various festivals around the area. And also presenting at this time is Lori Gamolka Palazzolo. Lori is president and executive producer of The Hornman Detroit and author of Horn Man, The Polish-American Musician in 20th Century Detroit, a cultural study which was released October 1st in 2003, distributed through Wayne State University Press of Detroit. The Wayne State Press catalog describes Horn Man as a story about migration, cultural formation, community, and ethnicity that brings honor and a renewed credibility to Detroit's legacy of Polish-American music and tradition. Lori holds a bachelor's degree in paralegal studies and business administration from Madonna University and a master's degree in English, business, professional, and technical writing from Wayne State University. After working for 30 years in the legal profession, most recently as a senior paralegal for 18 years with General Motors Corporation, she's retired to focus her energies on writing a screenplay for a film based on the lives of the musicians featured in Horn Man, as well as producing her forthcoming documentary film, a counterpart to Horn Man entitled Dom Polski, Dance Hall Days of Detroit's Polonia. She lives in Farmington, Michigan with her husband Wallace, who's an engineer with the Ford Motor Company. So in just a moment, our presenters will begin.
Thank you. Of course, Dick Spotswood was supposed to be here, and we're going to miss all his witty comments. Sorry he couldn't be here. We're going to talk about the polka. Dick titled the talk, The Polka and Why It's Good for You. And when I was driving up here, I immediately thought one of the bands I played with here locally, Ray Budzilic and his Cleveland All-Stars, who actually recorded on Capitol Records and recorded at the same studio Dick Woolley was mentioning, Cleveland Recording. Ray, on one of his albums in the corner, had a little, it said, a polka a day keeps the doctor away, and he always used to say that. But it's true, because the polka as a dance itself is very energetic, and in fact, in the one style of polkas, which we have a gentleman here who is a fantastic band leader from Detroit, Stan Vishniak. He had a big band in the 50s, played that style of music, and the dancing is very athletic, almost running, twirling, kicking, and and we'll play an example of that style of polkas as opposed to the slower Chicago style. Actually, the style that Stosh played is faster and almost, a little notey. Some musicians even commented, the more notes you could get in a measure, the better. But then again, which brings to mind the quality of musician that you had to be to play in one of these groups. And this fits in with Lori's book, on the Detroit musicians, which parallel Cleveland, because we have the same situation of fine musicians who, when they weren't playing at the Aragon Ballroom, they were playing weddings or polka dances or recording. In fact, one of the musicians that worked with Dick Woolley in the commercial aspect, Joe Trushinsky, played in some great polka bands in Connecticut, that same style, that big band polkas, and he ended up being the booker at the Front Row Theater, and a wonderful trumpet player. What I'm trying to get across is, I'm sidetracked a little bit there, but the athletic, with this style of music, it is very healthy, and dancing the polka makes you feel good. So we have the dancing aspect where people love to dance. It's sort of like runner's high, maybe. And as evening goes on, the euphoria, it's not necessarily from beer or alcohol, as the media tries to portray. But the music is very invigorating. Well, you know yourself, sometimes if you hear a polka, it makes you feel good. It's happy music. So we have the dancing aspect, as opposed to the people that are interested, are polka music fans, that this music can even be relaxing to them, as well as stimulating. I mean, I've seen people standing, these are the people that aren't dancers, they come to hear one of their favorite polka artists, and will stand there like the Beatles, and tears will start running down their eyes. And the reason for that, too, sometimes these melodies are so beautiful. There's albums, beautiful polka music, and which goes back, you can even relate it to time-honored melodies from Europe, Central and Eastern Europe, that have survived. Some of the melodies in the polkas today are very, they're old, and they're constantly being redone and orchestrated with contemporary themes. This is where we get into pop music influencing the polka musician, and the polka musician's always looking for fresh ideas or new ways of snagging an audience. The thing now is to, well, we got to get the American public, you know, and there's one DJ campaigning in Connecticut now. We got to get rid of Polish vocals. We got to get rid of the ethnic vocals, you know, to attract the American. Well, the ironic part about it is so many of these great polka musicians weren't ethnic and they weren't Polish. You know, I'll play you some things where they're playing a song from the mountain region in southern Poland in a very contemporary style. And the bass player's name is Vince Bozzarelli and Dave Morris, and Jim Weber. I mean, these aren't exactly Polish names, you know. And even some of the big bands, famous recording bands, on the old Dana record label. I don't know if anyone's heard of Dana Records. Walter Dana, who was a actor and theater person, came from Poland and started a record company in New York City and became very a very prestigious label. He prided himself as the powerhouse of hit polkas, and he scoured the country, starting on the East Coast, and recorded the great Eastern style polka bands, which influenced many Cleveland musicians. Bands like that developed here. Bands like Stan Wisniak, with that Eastern style playing once again. But the point being, they weren't even Polish. And I'm sure, Stan, in your orchestra, how many musicians were Polish? I don't know. Were there?
Not all.
No?
Tell them about your Club Polka Orchestra.
On Club Polka, there was two of us were Polish, one was Ukrainian, and for a while I was fortunate to have Ted Gamolka on the show, and then Wally Gamolka also. Then I had one Englishman in there for a while, and people would ask him, how do you feel sitting amongst all these foreigners playing all this music? He didn't bat an eye. He says it's happy music. And he played it that way, and he felt it that way.
What I was thinking of was Frank Wondorowski's band. Well, of course, obviously, that's a Polish name. They were all Italian. They were from New York City. Great horn players. Lou Placino, fantastic lead trumpet player. But some of these people that became our polka heroes or people that other musicians looked up to or strove to be weren't necessarily from an ethnic background. But of course now, I mean, in the media, you know, you always see the Lederhosen or, I don't know. You don't see the polka musician as just an average, your average looking musician, really. A lot of them have long hair. But anyway, so Well, what I wanted to say to originally, what I was going to start to say, is that polkas have always progressed. Like one of those old album covers from the 50s, the Polkateers play your polka party. Well, now we have kick-ass polkas, you know? And yesterday I bought one here in Cleveland, very interesting group, the Polkadelics. It's called One Step Over the Line. And they do, you know, musically here. In fact, one of the tunes, though, it's all English vocals, except they did a Jim Morrison, a Doors song, People Are Strange. And then the second verse, they sang it in Polish, which is kind of funny, really. But anyway, you know. So anyway, okay, getting back to the perception of polkas, I just wanted to just refresh your memory. This is, to me, let's put it this way. A friend of mine, this lady, when she was a little girl, she was like me, she was snagged. I mean, I got hooked on the beat. That's another thing, the beat. There are a lot of polka beats and polka styles, but as a little girl, she was hooked. But she was outside playing, and her grandmother called her and said, come on, they're playing a polka. She said, no. Well, come on, they're playing a polka. She says, well, Grandma, that's not a real polka. And she says, well, what do you mean, a real polka? Well, we kind of grew up hating, the Lawrence Welk type image of polkas. And when you think of polkas, you think of Lawrence Welk, you think of the tuba. And it's like, all the polka people, I mean, I could take a couple hundred of them, and I'll bet you not one has a Myron Florin album. You know, they don't consider this real polkas. And the point being, those kind of polkas, they went nowhere. They were non-offensive. They weren't wild and euphoric. They didn't work you up into a frenzy. Well, sort of anesthetic, let's say. They didn't. The real polkas had passion. There was like the gypsy violinist, as opposed to someone that has just all learned to play for music and had no heart. Real polkas had heart and soul in them. And later, especially with drums and musicians, they came to have a lot of rock elements. It's like if you like polkas, you could like Led Zeppelin. You know, I mean, but the thing about the whole polka scene is nobody knows this. Your average person, they don't know that this subculture exists. And there's festivals that became very well attended and with young people. Like even now in Wisconsin, there are areas, they have a couple things going on once or twice a year that really attract a young crowd. That's a dancing crowd and they love the music. And that's another thing, back to like the fella said, oh, we gotta get rid of the ethnic vocals. I was at in the Wisconsin Dells. They had a big polka festival. And some of the bands are up there singing, and they're singing in Polish, but nobody there understands anything. And then one fellow I know who is Polish, his son ended up playing drums and singing, and he criticized him for his pronunciation of the words. And he said, Dad, it doesn't matter. It's the feeling that counts, you know. So they're up there. It's almost if what would be a parallel in another, like maybe Cajun. If you don't know the language, you're going through the. Well, anyway, let's listen to that, the type of polka music I think we always heard.
Is this the play? Okay. Is she going?
It's not on. Oh yeah. Okay. Thank you. Now, a polka fan wouldn't be caught dead with that in his house. Really. Now, I'm going to give you an example of, we'll go 90 miles down the road, Toledo, Ohio, a band called Crusade. The same song, the Beer Barrel Polka, recorded like last year. Slicker, a little more contemporary. You can make a case for reggae there, maybe, I don't know. You would have been fired on the Lawrence Welk show, definitely. It's got a little pizzazz. Okay. One point that all polkas always did, and then I've got a good example, I'll play with Stan's band, how as you get through the song, polkas build. And usually with a real bombastic climax. And one of the elements of building is say we take 8 bars of a song, da 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 da, whatever, and now we add, if it's the accordion, bellow shaking, which is the exact parallel to a violin double stopping, da 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 da. So we've added another rhythmical thing, and now maybe the drummer, instead of going, just playing what he's playing, he's maybe crashing the cymbals more, and then at the end maybe really crashing the cymbals. But I just took one song. Once again, by Ray Bujelka, who was a local polka band here, and play the beginning of the song, where they play the second part of the song, and I left out the vocal. Then they play that part again, but you can already hear it building, and then I left out the vocal just to save time. And at the end, they do it again, and they modulate. Well, I'll give you an example here. A polka's building. Oh, that's ending. Beginning. Now here comes the double stomping. We can't hear one channel. Okay, here's second time through. Here's the end, same part. And one more time. And the clarinet improving over it. Now that's a good spot to mention, like the clarinet, all of a sudden he's playing his little doodly-doo over this melody, or this part that we've heard. And that is a definitely an influence of a great polka musician and clarinetist who made like a ton of records, Bernie Witkowski, Bernie White. And actually, this guy was so good, he was parading around as Bernardo Blanca recording Latin stuff. I mean, in fact, Benny Goodman used to get him to play. He played in Benny Goodman, would do jobs with Benny. And this is started out at like at 16 years old, recording on Columbia. And RCA made, you know, this man has such a phenomenal career. And like nobody now knows who he is, really, you know. And in fact, I just heard when he passed away about 10 years ago, his son said, gee, I didn't know my dad was this famous, you know. But Bernie Witkowski was a phenomenal, he had wonderful embellishments in the music, even behind vocals. It had I wanted to give you a couple samples of Bernie. And so, let's see. Just a couple short things to illustrate a point, because he was very influential, and I'll let Laurie speak on this. This starts with just the trumpets after a few bars, and when the clarinet comes in, you can hear how forceful and how he took the band and just could make it drive, and then a little bit of just his kind of soloing kind of playing. Clarinet player. One more. Very fluid. Bernie was was emulated and was influenced on a lot of musicians and they would, you know, and he had contemporaries. He had a few competitors. We don't have time, but there was an arranger and a fellow clarinet player in New York City, Ted Tilicki, who were very similar to Bernie, and he was popular. There was a fella by the name of Adam Novitsky who recorded on Columbia Records and was a competitor and a wonderful clarinet player and actually gave Bernie some competition. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point that is the classic Eastern style or salon or ballroom style polka that came over from Europe. Educated musicians brought this style over, and it was transplanted in America as this elevated style of polka. So polka, as Joe was saying, it evolves and it continues to evolve. It started out as a folk form, was elevated by these educated musicians who added all of this sophisticated instrumentation and arrangements, big band sound, fast. It was actually craved by the aristocracy. At one time, it was all the rage in Paris in the 1840s. So when it came here, it was that fast, dynamic, real, you know, very difficult to play. It was very technical music. So Bernie Witkowski was the king, the polka king. All of the Detroit musicians back in the 30s, 40s sat and listened to his recordings for hours on end. They wrote arrangements from his records because back then sheet music was too expensive. Families couldn't afford it. So that's how they got their arrangements. And as Joe said, he had a few contemporaries, Frank Wojnarowski, Gene Wisniewski, Ray Henry. They're all classic Eastern-style polka band leaders who all of the Detroit musicians and the Cleveland musicians, I think, modeled after.
Yeah, like I say, Detroit is a wonderful parallel to Cleveland.
And then what's interesting, too, is that it sort of was returned to the folk because polka then developed these and evolved into these other forms, which I'm sure Joe is going to get to, the Chicago slower, more relaxed, laid-back style, the honky style, and has become more of a folk form again.
And what you don't realize, this also parallels jazz, because you know how many jazz soloists there are, like trumpet players, you can list them. In the Polish polka field, we had people like Bernie, and now there are guys here in Cleveland, Dick Husiemba and Dave Gorski, who are wonderful clarinet players, but they patterned their style after Bernie. And so Bernie was one of our polka heroes, which, and before I go any further with that, I just want to jump ship and go to Chicago, which was the slower beat. Wasn't as fast and is not as many notes, but more of a free Dixieland kind of style, and had more of that bounce, that Midwest. Almost, if you go beyond Chicago, then you get into the Dutchman type polkas and maybe German. So there's a little bit of that into the Chicago, the slower beat, and the big star from Chicago, who kind of put it all together and was an artistic success. Has anyone heard of Little Wally on JJ Records? Very good. Okay. Well, you know, he did a lot of crazy pop stuff. They, thinking of Pistol Pack and Mama, but no, I don't think so. But the guy has recorded like over 100 albums, you know. But I'm going to give you just 16 bars of Wally to give you the demonstration of a completely different Polish style polka, but he's got that bounce, and this is what dancers like, you know. By the way, a little quick note on dancers. Recently there was kind of a festival, and the band wasn't very good, but there were a lot of good polka dancers there, and so they were doing their hop and having a merry old time, and one woman had commented, she said, "My gosh, they'll hop to anything." You know, but if you don't have a great band, maybe if you are a real dedicated polka dancer, Okay, here's Little Wally. And he'd hop around and play and he'd like twirl his stick, you know, real showman. Beat there, you know? He had on the back of his records, Little Wally plays Slingerland drums. Well, he obviously got a little promo there, a free set of drums, which he had for quite a while. And the polka beat for your dancing feet, you know? So about 10 years ago, I played with Wally at a club in New Jersey on a Sunday afternoon. I just got to tell you this. And he wasn't quite warmed up yet. He was just doing his thing. And this big woman, comes up to the stage, and she says to him, "I'm a Little Wally fan. I have all your records." And she said, "This is not the Little Wally beat." We all went, "Oh boy." And he looked at her and he said, "Hey lady, I invented the beat." You know? So, and it was never really resolved, but. But while we're in Chicago, there's another polka hero. I remember one time with my band, we played in Seven Springs in Pennsylvania, and my guys, they stuck around because they wanted to hear this guy play trumpet. Boy, and could he play trumpet? And my clarinet, and the guy played clarinet too, Lenny Gomulka. And my clarinet player asked him what kind of clarinet he had. It turned out he had like a Selmer student model piece of junk clarinet, and he sounded like an angel playing, you know. But anyway, this is just a few bars of Lenny Gomulka. This is a little autobiographical for him. Okay. Chicago, we're in Chicago.
We play lots of music, Chicago style music, the way I learned when I was just a boy. We play lots of music, that good old polka music, directly from Chicago, Illinois. Yeah!
Just a little slower, and now that push part is going to continue on into the vocal. Oh, no, not this time. Well, sometimes when they get going, they'll keep going on the vocal, whereas before that, it would kind of slow down again.
Chicago
is a very distinct style.
We play lots of music, Chicago style music, the way I learned when I was just a boy. From Chicago, Illinois. Yeah!
Okay, but now what's interesting here is all of a sudden with radio shows and records coming out and people getting lists of radio stations to send them to and programs, these guys in Chicago are sending records to all the polka programs out east. And the guys from out east are sending them to Chicago. Well, the ones in Chicago are basically kind of just ignoring them and letting them pile up, and maybe they'll see them in a used record store these days. Chicago really held on to its style. But out east, it was only a matter of year by year, you could plot the progression. The Eastern style really kind of started to disappear, mm-hmm. and Chicago took over, you mm-hmm. know? But as time would have it, well, they're having their little revival, and the big bands, of course, if you know anything about the music business, the more you have, the more expensive it is, and it's really hard to keep a big band going, but somehow they're managing to play just a quick example. Could you hook the CD thing up? I'll just play a section. This is a fellow by the name of Walt Wagner. The CD just came out called Giant Polkas. And he had played with one of the big bands from Massachusetts. Now, that's another thing. Massachusetts was a hotbed of big band polka bands. There was a great band called the Aristocrats. They made just a few recordings on Columbia on singles, but they don't forget the music schools were there, so a lot of these guys had come out of, they were well trained too, you know.
Okay. This first one? No. I forget. There we go.
I should play, right? Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, you get the idea there. So that's modern-day Eastern style. While we're on that, we should do Stan. I'll let you hear Stan's band. Fantastic. That's on the first number one.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Stan Vishniak. When he mentioned Club Polka, that was the local television show in Detroit. In 50s. Into the late 50s, you know. That's another thing, though. Like in Chicago, WGN, big station, WGN, they had the polka party first on Thursday nights. Got so popular, it ended up on Saturday night following Lawrence Welk, and it ran for 7 years. And great, Little Wally was on there. All the great, and there's a ton of Chicago polka bands. Which brought to mind this album cover, Polka Nightlife in Chicago. We have the Polonia Ballroom, Club 505, Baby Doll Polka Club, Aragon Ballroom, Harmony Hall, blah, blah, blah. There was all this activity in Chicago and the local show on ABC affiliate, which ran for 7 years. And so guess what? One night, WGN's going to have their 50th anniversary, history of WGN. For 2 hours, I thought, oh boy, maybe they'll show some clips, you know, get to see the Ron Terry polka party. They showed everything but that. And it's like, why? What are they ashamed of? I don't get it. You know, but it's like, and that's not the first time that's happened. You know, why the polka's got such a it really doesn't have a good image, but nobody knows anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows all the fun that everybody has and about all these great musicians and Laurie, maybe you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a bad rap, definitely, and it comes down to a number of things: bad PR, you know, the accordion too. I mean, just because of its association with Eastern European polka, shared that same stigma for many years. You know, it was considered hokey, corny. And it's the most beautiful of instruments.
Laurie, I'm going to interrupt you.
Sure.
Just because the accordion, that's another thing. Now, Stan's a fantastic, he's a virtuoso, he's a wonderful accordion player, bar none. But a lot of guys, okay, you get the accordion, your average guy at accordion is not that good. So now you've got someone playing out there, they hear this guy playing an accordion, and it's like, so I think that contributed to it.
It
was like the guitar replaced the accordion in the 50s. Of course, now with all the Mexican, even the Mexican polkas now, the accordion business is kind of thriving again, thanks to the Hispanics. But back to the image of the polka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does come down to a class prejudice, really. The polka and its association with Eastern European working class ethnicity, you know, has been sort of downplayed in terms of musical genres. And yet, you know, it's a culture, a subculture, really, that has survived over 100 years, existed completely outside of the mainstream. And as Joe was saying, these polka festivals, you know, draw hundreds of thousands of people. Maybe they're not happening in Detroit City proper anymore, or maybe not in Chicago, but in the suburbs and, you know, Frankenmuth areas outside of Detroit. They're drawing hundreds of thousands of people, and not just older people either. The young people are in on it, too. We went to Windsor Casino just across the border from Detroit a couple months ago, and they had a big polka palooza, the first one they've ever held there. And it was shoulder-to-shoulder people in there, and we learned afterwards that they let in everybody, regardless of the building capacity, and it was something like, you know, 15 times over capacity. But the people were there. So, and I think what Billboard magazine not too long ago summed up polka as the alternative music. And I don't think anything can be, you know, closer to the truth.
Well, you know, the stigma of the working man's music. Well, what was Bruce Springsteen? I mean, what was the Beatles?
I
mean,
you
know.
Right.
But the image, you know, and a lot of kids, I notice, like even in high school, would you say that you like polkas? Mm-hmm. Well, because you're thinking Lawrence Welk again in that tuba and all that, and it's like, mm-hmm. what are you going to do, try to explain it, you know? But the thing of it is while maybe the Rolling Stones came out with a great new album, there was a hot little band in New York or in Buffalo that, you know, was fantastic, but nobody heard it, nobody knew about it. Of course, this is, I'm sure there's other types of music that suffer from the same problem, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, just very quickly, let's just give a listen to Stan's band. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, there we go. I want to go to two. Okay, go to two, and I want to back up. That's what I want to do. Okay. Is she playing?
Come on and polka, oh, what a treat.
I'm going to get to the second.
Here is the...
These musicians are fantastic, the trumpets, and once again that modulation. Now here the band's gonna rock out. Here we're no longer gonna be a polka band, and everyone go. Oh, and I said, we're going to be an obedic band, and then they'd laugh, you know. So, sure. Oh gosh. Do we have time for a video? It's 2 minutes, it's about 2 minutes long. Pull it, okay. Oh gosh. We didn't do the healing power yet. Okay, we'll do
that. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Polka Hero, Eddie Blazancik from Chicago.
Where's our little lady?
I don't know.
Hi, Mom. There you go.
I tell them of my plans.
I wanna be the polka hero. I wanna be the polka star. Jumping yagras, polska musica. In the ballrooms and the clubs of cities near and far.
Went by, our band became one of the best. We played Detroit, Buffalo, Chicago, and the West. The fans would come to hear us play that Chicago Portnoy way. When they'd ask, I'd tell them of my plans.
I wanna be a polka hero. I wanna be a polka star. bym jak gra polską muzykę. In the ballrooms and the clubs of cities near and far, now I am a polka star, the leader of a band. Radio and TV shows, fan clubs throughout the land. This music has been good to me, it's what I love to do, you see. Let me tell you once more if I can. It's great to be a polka hero. It's great to be a polka star. Będę pan grał polską muzykę. In the ballrooms and the clubs of cities near and far.
Mike Chipchak, stand up. This is the gentleman that produced this video from Cleveland here. I thought he did a great job. And can I just let Lori make a closing comments? Lori is going to just quickly tell you about the healing power of polkas. I think is interesting.
I'll cut right to the end because I know we're out of time. Polka is not only happy music, and it's good for the soul, it's good for you physically because it gets you moving, it does have healing powers too. And this comes from the elements of polka, what it's all about, where it came from. Polka and its communal aspect, it's an art form that involves the audience. The band leader isn't up there just singing to the audience. The band leader is a part of the audience, involving the audience in the tunes like Julaida Polka, where he sings to one or, you know, several people, ladies or whatever in the audience, naming them by name. Who stole the Kishka gets the audience involved. You know, Yashu stole the Kishka, or, you know, Rachel stole the Kishka. There's a heavy emphasis on faith. Polka evolved out of the rural festivals and celebrations of the countryside, and those revolved around the seasons and the liturgical calendar, largely. Pre-Lent, pre-Advent dances, Easter dances. While polka isn't just Polish, it has become synonymous with Poles, and Pope John Paul II has written that the Polish culture from the beginning has worn very clear Christian marks. It's so to this day. Polish artists, including polka musicians, draw inspiration from Christianity and Christian values. And that's one of the things that is so good about polka, is that the polka bands are really wholesome bands. The ethos is an ethos of goodness, wholesomeness, and spirituality. Because of all of this and who we are, polka has soothing and healing characteristics and qualities. There's really exciting literature that's being written about polka today and its healing capabilities. Suzanne Strempek-Shea out of Palmer, Massachusetts, has written Hoopai Shoopai Donna. It's a fictional work, but it's about a young girl who suddenly finds, well, she's an accordion player, and her father's dream is to have her play in an all-girl accordion band or polka band. She suddenly finds herself the sister to an adopted younger sister who came from Poland and was without a family. And so there's a lot of resolution that takes place, and polka and her accordion playing are what bring her to peace. A short story based on an actual life experience by Eugenia Pavlik Zeitlin of Los Angeles called Charlie Won't Dance, Polka as Therapy. A short story about a 10-year-old girl whose father loses a finger in an accident, and thereafter he withdraws into himself, even giving up his beloved polka dancing, which was like the nucleus of his being. Ultimately, it is polka that brings about his healing, and that in turn heals his daughter's heartache. Finally, The Horn Man. It's a non-fictional historical work. It started out as my way of finding peace with my father's death. Started out as a genealogical study that turned into a 100-year ethnomusicological history. And through that, healing has come not just to me, but also to Stosh. Somebody recently said, now he came back to Detroit after 33 years when he heard about my book. He was alone in the desert in Southern California, dying, basically. Hadn't played his accordion for 3 years. And somebody recently said to me, you inherited him. And I truly believe that when my father left this earth, he sent me Stosh. Here's a man who had his own television show in the 1950s. One of his recordings from back in the 60s is part of the Smithsonian Institution collection. He was the greatest accordionist ever to emerge from Detroit. And yet, there he was, dying, and really nobody today knew of him. So he's come back to life because of the Horn Man. And he was just recently selected by a panel of specialists at the Michigan State University Museum to receive the Michigan State Heritage Award for 2004. Governor Granholm signed a legislative decree, and our state representative brought it into the restaurant where Stosh plays 3 nights a week now in downtown Farmington. He's on the front page of the paper just about every week, so he's a living truth that polka heals. If anybody wants more information on any of those books, you can please see me. We also have flyers. We have 5 CDs available, and the Horn Man book I saw is available in the room next door. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but if you have questions for them, I'm sure they'll be glad to answer them after the presentation. Bill Klinger would like to just talk to you for just a few minutes.
Just a comment about going to the Rock Hall. Everybody who's a registered conference goer can go to the Rock Hall. The event starts at 7, runs till 10, more or less. And to get on the buses, which are free, go to the lower lobby level. That's the Superior Avenue exit of the hotel. Lower lobby, take the elevator to the lower lobby level. The first bus will load about 6:45, and there'll be 5 more buses after that, 5 times. So you have about an hour if you'd like to have dinner before the first bus goes over, because at the Rock Hall, we only have drinks. There won't be any food. So if you want to grab a bite to eat, you have about an hour before the first bus loads, and perhaps an hour and a half even after. So see you down there.